Good afternoon, Juno. This is the Black Awareness Association's regular Thursday afternoon segment called Conversations with the BAA. Thank you for joining in with us this afternoon. And today we are going to be talking about image and negative stereotyping in the Black community. We invite you to listen in closely, and we'd like to hear from you after discussion what you think and how we can, as a community, move forward from the things that are currently plaguing us. My name is Sherry Patterson. I am the president of the Black Awareness Association, and we're so happy to be with you today. Our panelists are made up today of a few of our members, and we have today Kay, Kelly, Christina, and Michael, who will be joining me on the conversation. And a couple more may be jumping in. A couple of these might be jumping off. We'll just go with it. So thank you for joining us today, and we'll jump right into the conversation. The first thing that I would like to ask the group is, can you share with me what your understanding or your definition of stereotyping or negative stereotyping is? Christina, you want to go first?
Hi, sure. My definition of a stereotype would be anytime you have a belief about a whole group of people that is based mainly on something that you've heard or but haven't necessarily experienced firsthand, or maybe something that you've experienced once or twice, but you hold that as something that is true always for the entire group.
Okay.
And it may not necessarily be so.
Okay. All right. Kay?
Yes. My idea of negative stereotyping is when we collect information from sources. You know, it could be factual information from sources such as some literature, movies, some books, or having, you know, information about a people or a person that is not really focus just on them. We're addressing the individual as a group. So I think something that could take the place of negative stereotyping is taking the time to learn that one individual as one person and not as a group.
Okay. All right. Kelly, would you like to expound?
I don't know that I have a whole lot more to add. My definition of stereotyping is a lot like Christina's. It's when you take maybe your experiences or something that you heard or something that you have come across as an experience with maybe one person, maybe a few people, maybe a lot of people, and then you apply that idea or that knowledge to an entire group of people. Or when you apply that knowledge to a certain sex, or when you apply that knowledge to more than just that individual encounter that you had with that particular person. That would be my definition.
Okay.
Of stereotyping.
Okay. All right. Michael, would you like to join in the conversation?
Yeah. To piggyback off, what Kelly said, my definition is very similar to hers, like a overgeneralized or oversimplified belief of a particular group of people or a person, or in this instance, a group of people that is held by a lot of other people.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, without saying any more or less, I think that'd be my definition. So.
Okay. I found researching some things, knowing that we were getting into this conversation, I found an article online, and it's from the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia. And I would just like to read just a portion of it. It says, stereotypes are cognitive structures that contain the perceiver's groups. These cognitive constructs are often created out of a kernel of truth and then distorted beyond reality. Racial stereotypes are constructed beliefs that all members of the same race share given characteristics. These attributed characteristics are usually negative. And that actually sums up everything that all of you said. So thank you so very much for that. And I believe that everything you said is right on. Can you have any one of you had some type of stereotyping or stereotypical incidences in your particular life that you would not mind sharing, if you don't mind sharing?
Sure, I'll go first.
Okay.
This is an easy one for me. Just growing up here in town, I shared this with my son a few times, that I often, when I was a kid playing basketball, because there weren't too many black people that were playing, especially in the smaller towns that we would visit, just based off my race, I would walk onto a court and immediately people would just assume that I was awesome. I would go somewhere else and immediately people, if they didn't know me, would assume that I played basketball. Even though I did, obviously.
Right.
But they would assume not only that I played, but that I was very good. And that can sound like a good thing, but as much as I worked and as hard as I worked, it wasn't because I was black that I had any sort of talent. It's because I shot in cold weather with gloves on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because I was black.
Right.
That happened quite often, especially here's as much, but definitely a lot going to smaller places, Ketchikan, Sitka, and whatnot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know what? I just remembered a story that someone shared at church a few years ago. He was a visiting minister, and he knew me for years. And of course, I'm black and I do sing. And so he assumed that all blacks could sing. And this is going to be funny. He went to, and he, of course, is a Caucasian, and he went to a predominantly black church, and the choir stood up to sing, and he was floored because he said it was horrible. And he was thinking to himself, oh, my God, I thought everybody could sing like Miss Sherry. And he told this in church when he came and visited us, and we laughed, but that was a stereotype, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a funny one, but yeah, exactly. So they can be funny, but for the most part, negative stereotyping is very harmful. It is very hurtful. And when it is done to vulnerable people like our children, or even people that has been abused in bad relationships, and they don't get the support or the encouragements that they need, and all they hear is what somebody else's version of what they should be, is very, very harmful. And so, does anybody else have a story that they'd like to tell?
I can tell one.
Okay.
And it's a little different because my dad is in the military. I was raised a military brat. We moved around a lot. And I guess this is me falling out of the stereotype. A lot of people will hear me and not see me and assume that I'm white all the time. And then they'll see me and be like, you don't sound black, as if black people stereotypically have a way that we sound or a way that we talk. And I worked in the hospitality industry for years, and I never understood why people always ask me, so where are you from? Because they're trying to figure out why my English is so, why I speak so well, why my diction is different. Because they think that all black people sound like we're from the Bayou, or all black people sound like Cardi,
yeah.
And we all sound like Lil Wayne, but we don't.
Right, right.
Some of us sound quote unquote white.
And
so some of us were moved around a lot. Some of us were born and raised in Alaska. Some of us we just don't all sound the same. And people assume that because my voice is light.
Yes.
People say, oh, it's because it's not heavy. Like, as
if wow.
Black women sound heavy.
Wow.
Black women sound like deeper in tone. And I just think that that's a really interesting stereotype. And I don't even think that people mean to offend when they say it. But as a parent, when someone tells my 13-year-old he sounds white, even visiting family from the South, you know, doesn't sound quote unquote white, it puts this idea in his head that he, his proper English is somehow not right.
Correct.
It's somehow not the way he's supposed to be as a black boy or as a black man, that somehow he should not have proper English. And I just think that that's something that we should really, like, think about. Like, sometimes stereotyping can be, you know, when it's good, it's white. And when it's bad, it's black.
Right.
And trying to get out of that stereotype of, like, sounding white doesn't mean I sound good.
Right.
Sounding white.
Yeah.
Sounding black doesn't mean I have to sound bad. But
correct.
I can't stereotype and say that I have to sound one or the other because of my skin color.
I totally agree. Michael, you were going to say something?
No, not. I'm really just listening to what she's saying and agreeing 100%. I can relate to that. My sister, I'm sure, can relate to that on a level.
Yes.
It's a lot of the same things. And with us living in Alaska and having half of our family be from Louisiana, visiting down there and how they would view us as the white black people.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Because we, you know, we enunciate our R's and we, and it has nothing to do with, I'm just as black as you. I just happen to speak with a different diction. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Grammar is a bit, you know, I like what you said, that it doesn't make you black or white just down a certain way, but the way that you are view based on it, if it's bad, it's black, and if it's good, then you must be white or live around white people or raised by wolves and white people or something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And
she's right. And getting that turned around, even in our own community, because it doesn't always come from a different race, but then our own community is just as harmful, if not more, to pigeonhole you into something that you're not. Getting us out of that as well is something that I think is definitely possible, but difficult.
Yes.
At least.
So. Yes. And, you know, I want to just expound on what you guys have just said. I know that I have had conversations with my relatives who live in the South, and they at many times when you guys were teenagers, they wanted to know where their white niece and their white nephew were because of the way you guys sounded, because of the way you said your words and your diction. They did. They called you their white niece and their white nephew. And so I absolutely agree with what Kelly said. And I know, Kelly, want to get back to you. I know that a lot of people, the way you spell your name, black people do not spell their name with an I.
Or black people don't name their daughters Kelly.
Right.
Kelly from Saved by the Bell, Kelly from 90210, Kelly from, you know, from most television shows.
Yes.
Kelly is not black.
Right.
So I can remember my roommate seeing Kelly and was like, oh, I thought you were going to be white, you know?
Right.
And just totally shocked that I was Kelly with an I and I was black.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, my grandmother on my mother's side named me Kelly, but my grandmother on my father's side was a teacher and said that Kelly with an I is feminine and Kelly with a Y was masculine.
Oh.
So there was a whole bunch of black influence in the name, and yet people are like totally astonished that I'm a black Kelly that spells it with an I.
Wow.
And I'm Kelly Renee. That doesn't make it.
That doesn't make it in. Yeah, exactly.
They think I'm white and French. My last name is Munts and it's spelled M-O-N-T-S. Like, you know, turning into a Patterson has really
helped you out. That's too funny. Yes, Michael, you want to add to that?
Jim Kelly is definitely black. For anybody out there who knows that Jim Kelly is black, okay?
Okay.
If you don't know, then check the Bruce Lee history.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Okay. So we want to take a few minutes. Thank you guys for the conversation so far. And we're going to take a break here. And then we want to talk about images and stereotyping in the movies, and specifically talk about the life of Chadwick Boseman, who just passed away, and his take on the men that he portrayed. Okay? Thank you for listening in so far. We'll be right back. Good afternoon, Juno. This is Sherry, and we are back and continuing our conversation on image and negative stereotyping of the Black community. You will be brought right into the next segment already in progress because of technical difficulties. We are now discussing the life and standards and character of Chadwick Boseman, an American actor and artist who just passed away recently at the very young age of 43 years. He was known not to accept the stereotypical role of a broke-down Black man with no goals and visions for life, but rather roles of strong and powerful and great men who our kids could look up to, and adults, men such as the Black Panther, Thurgood Marshall, James Brown, and Jackie Robinson. Please join us as the conversation is already in progress.
His flower memorial, and it seems like he was observing a moment of silence, you know, in honor of Mr. Boseman. And I think, you know, he had such a clear idea, and I have to say that because his alma mater is Howard, and Howard University is an historically Black college, where some might say, why do we need a Black college? Well, you know, because Black history is not appropriately expressed or included in our American history. And so Mr. Boseman is one example of someone who is he has a firm concept of his place and position and his goal and focus. And he was not, you know, timid in asserting that goal of his. And he's, you know, of course, to be applauded for standing up, even when I'm sure it came down to whether he would eat or not, you know, for taking this role or not, and so on. So he stood to his morals and, you know, kept to his ideals and what he thought he would portray as it relates to the younger boys and girls who would watch his action movies.
Okay. All righty. Michael, would you like to share?
Yeah, I actually wasn't aware of this at all until just hearing about it maybe shortly before coming on here today. And looking back at the work that he's done, at least the ones that I'm familiar with, I can see that. And I think that, as Christina said, that's a huge, huge thing, especially for a guy who wasn't really well known within the last few years, up until, say, the last few years, fairly recent. And for him to always, I mean, you can look back through his filmography, which is kind of what I was trying to do, and yeah, all of his roles fall in the category of not trying to be a stereotypical something. They're always different, and even if he's never really the antagonist in anything, always a protagonist, and you can see they're all different types of roles, but all in that same light, and I think that's huge. And a man that could easily go in a different way, and like you said, just got work.
Right.
To get paid and take those checks, but he chose not to, and I think it's for the better. And being Black Panther is, I think, the pinnacle of that.
Right.
It's the Black Panther was, for me, I didn't realize how impactful that movie would be until I actually saw it.
Right.
And it was more than a comic book movie. It was more than something in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. To see every major role played by a Black person has an impact that I think is felt much further than anybody really believes, unless you're Black. I mean, because in everything you always see white people doing something, not to be, to put it out crassly, but it's always Black person is token here or token there, or they're featured here or featured there. But from top to bottom, to see everything from the king down to the janitor be Black, and him to be the forefront of that, it was extremely impactful, and I applaud him in life for that, and even more so in death. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly, would you like to add anything?
I just think that he was very instrumental in his role of shaping Black culture. I think that his characters that he played, I just recently watched James Brown, and I didn't even know it was him in a couple of the scenes, because he just totally just took on that character and was fantastic. And I think that as a community, we mourned him because he was such an impactful actor, and because he played all of these positive roles, that we associated him with positive roles as a positive person, as a positive influence. And he was really active in, you know, activism and racial injustice. He was very vocal in all of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's also why we mourned him. And, you know, we love Denzel, but, you know, Denzel won an Oscar for being the bad guy.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah.
For Trading Day. And we love Trading Day.
Right.
But it's nice to see an actor who, from start to finish, just took on positive roles and wanted to educate the community. Because, you know, James Brown wasn't necessarily, you know, I wouldn't want my son to be like, I'm going to be like James Brown when I get older. Like,
right.
It's not who,
right.
You know, we want our kids to emulate. But he's a part of our history. And he was a huge part of our history. And just somebody taking on a lot of those historical roles, whether it was James Brown or Jackie Robinson, to just take on those roles and be like just this Black actor that was known for, and this Black actor who was just known for being a historical figure. And, you know, just to piggyback off of Michael, watching Black Panther just shaped the culture, because it was the first time you saw a movie where the cast was predominantly Black. It wasn't a comedy. It wasn't Coming to America. Like, there weren't jokes. We were well off.
Right.
Like, we were an elite society.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, 10 years ago, an all-Black community that was an elite society to the United States would have been, like, nobody would have bought that movie. Like,
right.
It would have been unheard of. The concept would have been just ridiculous.
Yes.
But the fact that, you know, they pulled it off, and even from the director was Black, and the music person was Black, and the soundtrack was Black, like, it felt like our movie. That was our Marvel movie.
Yes,
like,
yes.
We showed up, we dressed up in costumes and went to the movie theaters and saw it.
Yeah.
We were proud. Like, some of us started looking up where in Africa we were.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
You would think that Wakanda was a real country.
Right, exactly, so yes.
It's a culture and it's
yes,
a language.
Yes.
And, you know, my sister-in-law, when she hadn't seen it, you should have seen Black people attack. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, why haven't you seen Black Panther? Like, everybody's seen Black
Panther. Right, exactly.
So it was just like, it was a movement for us as a culture. To
yes.
Even be able to look at something, for our children to be able to look at something and be like, there's a Black superhero. This
correct.
Is what Black people can do. You see that digital designer? He was Black. You see that director? He was Black. So not only do they have to be in front of the camera, they can be behind the camera. They can be production assistants. They can be the head guy of whatever they want to be.
Yes.
And that movie let them see that there is so much more
yes.
for them to become and so much more for them to do. And what we can do as a society, like, we're not all boys in the hood. Like, all Black people together doesn't have to equal a ghetto movie.
Right.
Like, we can all come together and have a cultural experience that is enlightening, that is beneficial to society. We're smart. We can have advanced technology. We have the capability of taking the stone out of Vision's head. Like, we can do anything that we need to do.
Yes, yes.
In order to succeed as a Black person. And I think that that movie was one of the first times you saw that.
Yes.
On a big screen.
Right.
Where they put lots of money behind
it. Right. And you know what? I'd just like to add that when I went and saw it, I think it was a couple of years ago, it came out in 18. And when I went and saw it, and I'm just going to confess it, I don't go to many Black movies. And I don't because I'm from an era where I lived in a lot of the stuff like The Help and Roots and some of the others, Mississippi Burning and all of these other, I can't sit through the pain and the bleeding and the beating and the abuse because I lived in that. So I don't go see those. But I went to see Black Panther And it was incredible. I felt like we should have had a party afterward. You know, somebody said that they saw it and then they wanted to have a party. And I'm like, really? I understood once I went and saw it. We should have had a big party because it was that impactful. I love how it has it's had such an impact on our Black and brown children. Do anybody want to speak to that? Michael, Kelly, you guys are parents. Kay, you're a parent. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kay.
Can I just say?
Yes.
This is Christina.
Uh-huh.
Just a comment on what Kelly had said, and Michael as well, with and even you, Mom, the not seeing the Black movies, I didn't see it for a long time, and part of it is because I typically don't watch Black movies, quote unquote. I certainly don't rush to see them in the movies because of the stereotype.
Okay.
There's usually, I just don't like the way that we are portrayed, especially as Black women. I don't like the roles that we tend to be in on the big screen.
Yeah.
And so I stay away from it. And so when I did finally see it, which was recently since Chadwick Boseman's death, I was so proud and I couldn't believe that it had taken me that long to see it. I think that it is very important for our young women to be able to see the women in the movie, the way that they were portrayed. They were strong, they were confident, they were beautiful, they were smart to see. I forgot her name, but the princess or the king's sister.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does anybody remember her name?
No, not really.
Hello?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So, but anyway, for her to be the one that was in the lab that was creating
yes.
all of the things,
right.
and she mm-hmm. was the doctor and she could heal all the people and everything, it was just so beautiful to see that, how brilliant she was. And I didn't know how much I had wanted to see something like that until I actually saw it. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's really important, and I hope that we will have more movies like that where our young children can see, you know, you don't have to aspire to be, you know, Beyonce. Like, you don't have to aspire to be a singer or an athlete. Those things are wonderful, but you can also be intelligent. You can also, like Kelly said, you can, you know, do things in cinematography, and there's just, yeah, it just opened up a whole world for our young people, I think.
Kay, did you want to add to that?
I just agree with, you know, what our panelists have said, that this is a young man who is just starting out in his field, in his, you know.
Craft, yeah.
He wants to be an actor, and he made a decision earlier on. And I think that speaks volumes. You know, we as individuals want to encourage our children to set their values early, because when you set your values early, you have such a strong rudder to move you through the rest of life, which he used here to choose the movies that he knew would impact, you know, young people for years and years to come. So, yeah, kudos to him.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Michael.
Just for her name was Letitia Wright was the actress.
Okay.
And her name was Shuri.
Shuri. Okay.
Shuri. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. I was so proud to see her. I was like, yes. And one other thing that I would say, thank you, Michael, is I also think that it's one of the things that most people, or not a lot of people, don't know about the cast of Black Panther is one of the older women in the movie. I think she was an elder in the tribe. She was in her 80s. And she always wanted to be.
Wow. Wow.
And that was her first role.
Wow.
Like for that, a movie that huge. And she literally, like, her grandchildren told her to sign up with a casting agency. And she just did in her 80s. Like, and they're like, go for it, Grandma. You don't have any.
Wow.
Sign up. And she signed up. The first thing she auditioned for in her entire life, she landed. And
that's,
it was in Black Panther.
Wow.
And so I think that those are stories that we need to know too. The movie, just everything that it stood for.
Yes.
It's just so powerful for our culture.
Yes, yes.
We were talking about stereotypes before. I think it's, you know, what she mentioned about the women. Like, we don't see Black women portrayed in movies really ever if they're not playing a Black stereotype, unless it's a biopic.
Okay.
You know, we see a biopic of Aretha Franklin, or, you know, we get movies like that. But other than that, we're like the ghetto girlfriend, or we are the hood rat chick, or we're the
other woman. Yeah.
We're the, you know, so to
chick,
see
chick on the side.
Women.
Yeah.
Black moms.
Yes. Or looking for a man. Like, we're looking for a husband because it's so hard to find a Black man. Like, so we're looking for a husband and we've been cheated on, and, you know, we're How to Be a Player or Players Club, or, you know, we're all of these different movies. So to see a role where the women were, they weren't interested in finding a man. Like, that was not their top priority. Like, they didn't need a man to support them. They didn't need, like, that's not what it was about. And to see them play, like, a role of leadership and totally venture out of what the normal stereotype is for a Black woman to play, I thought was very wonderful to see.
Yes.
Okay. I second that.
Kay, did you want to add anything to that?
This is the young man whom we want to keep in our history books and talk about him often and talk about him, you know, whenever we talk about filmmaking and positive role models for Blacks. Yes, most definitely.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, then. We will go to another break, and then we will have a few final words. And thank you so much. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you. Okay, Juno, we're back and we're going to wrap up here. We've been having a conversation with Kelly, Christina, Michael, and Kay, and myself about image and stereotyping in our community, Black community. And we just want to share that the other movies that Chadwick Boseman, who we've been talking about, he not only portrayed King T'Challa and Black Panther, but he also portrayed Thurgood Marshall, the first African-American justice on the Supreme Court, Jackie Robinson, and James Brown. And these are all powerful men, and we appreciate him saying no to the negative stereotypes and portraying those that our children can learn from and look up to and say, I want to be like. And so as we end this conversation today, what are your final words to our community today about this, what we've just discussed, stereotyping and the negative images that some might have about us as a Black community? How can we change people's perceptions of us? Christina, you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. I don't really know how to answer that question.
Okay.
To be honest, I feel like it's not necessarily our job to change their perception of us.
Okay, all right.
What would be good is to try to broaden your perspective in general. So might be exposing yourself to more Black culture. Maybe instead of just listening to Black music, you might look into Black art. You might start looking into reading books by Black authors. You might look into researching inventions that were made by Black people. Things like that, like somehow to immerse yourself in the Black culture beyond what is just put in your face on TV or on social media. I think if I were to answer what we can do, it would probably be to just continue to be the change that we want to see.
Okay.
So, you know, I try not to play into the stereotypes that I know that a lot of people have of Black women while still being myself. Yeah, being the change that I want to see. I don't want to be perceived or perpetuate the perception of the way that we're seen a lot of times as Black women on TV, and so I don't behave that way or portray myself that way in real life.
Okay. Kay, would you like to add?
I agree with Christina. You know, it's a heavy weight to take on to feel you need to change someone's perspective of you. I think, you know, individually, in our own way, we impact our world one person, one day at a time. You know, we do now are at a point where we as a people recognize the framework that we've been working with for many, many hundreds of years have really not served us well. And so it's, you know, to each of us to take the responsibility to make sure that we are steering away from that, that we are honoring people as individuals and not as a group, and not using the old negative stereotypes that we are now, you know, realizing that really still do exist, not honoring those, and moving towards positivity, and just working to develop and develop ourselves and influence our sphere of our friendships, our families, our work life, and so on, and not be, you know, be wise and alert enough not to be the person who is used to continue those stereotypes, because, you know, it's so easy for someone who is not well informed to be used as a vehicle and as a means to extend the stereotypical thinking and to continue the dangerous treatment of other peoples, other groups okay. of peoples.
All righty. Kelly?
I think that, you know, just like everybody else said, it's not necessarily our responsibility to change someone else's perspective or how they see you. I think that, you know, a lot of times just one way that we can counteract the stereotype is by letting somebody know that it's a stereotype. I think that a lot of times when people are making stereotypes, they're not even aware that it's a stereotype, because a lot of stereotypes are true. Like, Black people eat fried chicken, you like watermelon, you know, and it's probably not going to change because it's part of our culture. Our parents did it, our parents' parents did it, and it's good. So, you know, that's not going to change. But the next time someone being like, "You eat watermelon," just be like, "Okay, but this is a stereotype. Not all Black people like watermelon.
Right.
Not all Black people like fried chicken." And just letting them know, like, that's a stereotype that you just did there. You
okay.
know?
All right.
Being okay with letting them make that stereotype and not immediately being offended.
Okay.
And not counteracting that with offense and attacking, but to just educate, because people don't know what they don't know.
Okay.
And a lot of times they may not know, you know, just like you said, he didn't know that all Black people couldn't sing. You know, we could say to him, like, well, you know, not all Black people can sing, right?
Right,
you
right.
know, just kind of bringing it up and trying to educate as we go along, as we see something or do something, or, you know, even with our children, so that they're not perpetuating the stereotype, letting them know, like, not all Black men are this, or not all Black women are this, or
okay.
not all Black people are this, I think will help, as well as how we see ourselves and how other people see us.
Thank you, Kelly. Michael, did you want to add something as we come to a close?
I think that we as a culture, Black people, are at a point in time where we have to not operate under righteous indignation, so to speak, when it comes to other people and how they view our race. And to speak on what, or touch on what everyone here has said in some way, shape, or form, that yes, it isn't necessarily our job to educate, but we have to be open and okay with allowing for some people to not know what they know, and then telling them, I guess educating them on the what they did wrong and where the thinking is wrong, without being necessarily mean or defensive.
Okay.
And I think perpetuating is, say you don't want to perpetuate it, or we don't want to perpetuate it, is hard. Because like Kelly said, I love chicken. I love chicken because it's good. Am I perpetuating it by eating it because someone else thinks it? Sure. But the truth is that it is good. And I do like it. That happens with a lot of things in our society.
And that is my granddaughter, Juno. Thank you, Michael, for...
Excuse me.
We're good.
Intruder.
Yes.
but yeah, we really need to be okay with educating our brethren of different races and let them know that this is not, you know, I'm living under this, the when you know better, you do better.
Yes.
And if you are willing to learn, then we're willing to teach.
Yes. Okay. All right.
We need to be able to do that as a culture of Black people. I think we need to be open to doing that without being defensive.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Yeah, I'll leave it right there.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank all of you for taking part in this conversation today. And I would like to end by reading the last paragraph of this writing that I found. Again, it's from the Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia. And the last paragraph says, "Finally, educating people about damaging, inaccurate stereotypes is recommended. Small focus groups involving individuals of different races could be organized through agencies, schools, universities, or churches. Discussion of racial stereotypes and attitudes in a safe format would allow people to explore and possibly discard stereotypes. Individuals can reassess their own prejudices and biases and affect a change within themselves." I just believe it's all about the heart, what's inside sometimes. "Through a non-judgmental process of exploration, the possibility that people who believe and perpetuate stereotypes do so not out of hate, but as a means of protecting themselves can be considered. They may do so out of ignorance, habit, or fear rather than maliciousness. By suspending our disbelief and seeing each person as an individual rather than through the eyes of a preconceived stereotype, we can begin this change on the individual level. As a result, resolution on the community and in societal levels can occur." And I'll end with that. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. And thank you to all of my panelists, Kay, Kelly, Christina, and Michael, for participating. And I hope that you have gleaned something from the conversation. And let us know what you're thinking about these conversations. Many have asked about donations. And yes, we do take donations. And just give us a shout at JunoBAA@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.